안녕하세요. Good morning. Warm welcome to you all. If you're here for the first time, it's good to see you, and we hope there's a chance to talk to you afterwards. There's tea and coffee served outside later. Leslie is away preaching at All Saints this morning. She will be here for the 11:30 service. So we thank Sugin, who is leading our worship this morning. The service is being live streamed, so we welcome those of you joining us from home or elsewhere. Good to have you with us. Worship continues here with the 11:30 interactive service and then the 5 p.m. service. Also today at 6:30 is the Street Pastors annual celebration service. And this takes place at Teddington Baptist Church. 6:30, as I say. If you want the address, let me know. But if not, please remember Street Pastors at 6:30. Please do refer to the notices sheet that gets sent round. There are some copies of that at the back if you haven't got one or want to have a quick look. Elders election, today is the final day for nominations. Information is available at the back. I understand the number of forms have gone, so I'll print some more later if you need those. But please do think carefully about anybody who you think would be a suitable elder. The next step in the process is to issue the form with all the nominations on, and then we will start the voting. There are plans for a Lent study course this year. There will be 5 sessions, one in each week of Lent, starting on the week of the 7th of March and going through to the week of the 4th of April. The final details are still being worked out, but we'll let you know as soon as they're available. News of the next nature walk, 3 to 5 p.m. with Sally and the team. The next one is next Sunday, the 6th of February, meeting at the Home Park entrance. So good chance to reconnect with nature and have some fun with friends. Carol is now going to talk to us about a new initiative.
Let me just start off by saying that stay and play is no longer going to happen as an event on a Saturday morning. However, we've got something new, and it's for everybody. We're introducing Crafternoons. Okay? And they will be once a month. And Sally and I and one or two other people have been thinking about this and putting it together. And we've come up with the ideas for the first 2 or 3, but we'd actually like everyone to be involved. If you have a skill or a craft that you have that maybe you'd like to teach some people, we'd love to have your input. Okay, we can come up with lots of ideas, but maybe you've got a craft, a skill, a talent that maybe you could teach us. It could be anything from, I don't know, a bit of woodwork, to a bit of knitting, to a bit of crochet, to a bit of cooking, to whatever. However, the first Crafternoon will take place on Saturday the 19th of February between 2 and 5. And we're focusing on paper folding. One of the things that we'd like to do is origami. So there'll be origami paper, some instructions, and you can try it out together and go, I can't make this work, and see if somebody else can. And then we've got some quilling that we can play with and try that out. And then we need to make some spring flowers, so hyacinths and great big flowers. Okay, nothing too complicated, maybe a little fiddly, but nothing too complicated. And all are welcome. There will be refreshments. If you think, oh, I'm not sure it's for me in crafting, but actually, I'd like a cup of tea with some friends, you're welcome. Okay? We would love to see you. So, Craftanoons, and the first one is the 19th of February from 2 till 5 in the afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. That sounds exciting. So, finally, news of people. Please remember to continue to pray for Georgie as he recovers from surgery and follow-up care. And also we heard that Warren, who comes to the 5 p.m. service, his mother has died recently, so please remember him in your prayers. And as always, remember others that are known to you who are unwell or finding life difficult at the moment. Thank you.
Let us call to worship to God. Let us come together to listen to God's voice, to listen to each other, to speak what is on our hearts, to be held and heard, to find our voices and to hear God's voice. Amen. Let us sing our first hymn, hymn number 492. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, dear Lord and Father of mankind.
Ways, though dancing upright for my impure.
Please visit him. A prayer of approach. We come to your house for comfort and certainty, Lord. We want to hear words of reassurance. But you are the God who calls us out from our comfort zones, and sometimes we are unsettled by your word over us. Help us to be open this day, we pray, to dare to hear, in order that we may dare to speak as Jesus did, when the times demand. Amen. Prayer of Confession. Father, we confess that we did relish being challenged. We don't want our ways of thinking and living to be questioned. We like certainties and feeling settled. So Lord, it is unsettling to imagine you coming among us. Surely we are your people, like those of Nazareth, and yet they rejected you. But they could not control you and take what they wanted from you. Forgive us for behaving likewise, for thinking we can level and define you. You, we are your own, and yet our welcome is limited. We ask for our eyes and ears to be opened, that we may share the limitless possibilities of your ministry. Amen. An assurance of forgiveness. There are times when we are aware that our response to you is so small, O God. From the bubble where we feel safe, cocooned in our certainties, we fail to realize how narrow our thinking is.
You have very difficult.
Yet you are patient and kind with us. You forgive. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness that covers all our feeble, middle-mindedness. Amen. A prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for not leaving us content. You do not allow us to wallow in self-satisfaction, thinking we are in control. Instead, you unsettle us with your truth. You disturb us into new ways of thinking. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to challenge us. May we prove worth of your attention, able to accept your truth and act upon it. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shelley?
Good morning, everybody in the building. Getting blinded. Good morning, everybody at home. We live in a world with a lot of bad news, don't we? And I'm sure that you'll be praying about that later on in the service. But for now, who would like to hear some good news? Not everybody's got their hands up. Who would like to hear some good news? Me! On Facebook, there is a page that you can follow called positive.news. And at the end of the week, they summarize everything, and it's called What Went Right This Week. Who would like to know what went right this week? Good news. Yeah! So, I'm going to have to summarize each one. A hospital won a prestigious architecture award. A hospital in rural Bangladesh has been named the world's best new building. The Friendship Hospital was declared winner of the 2021 Reba International Prize. Judges praised the structure for putting care and humanity at the heart of its design. An exhibition celebrated survivors of the Holocaust. It's basically curated by the Royal Photography Society, and it celebrates the legacies of people who forged new lives in the UK after escaping Nazi persecution. So there's photographs of survivors hugging their grandchildren, playing musical instruments, and celebrating birthdays. Native American tribes reclaimed ancestral land. Returning land to indigenous people is a proven solution to deforestation, and that's what happened in California this week.
Yeah, I know.
Scientists heralded an underrated wonder crop. A relative of the banana that grows in Ethiopia is a wonder crop that could feed millions in a warming world. Food security. The UK could reduce its dependence on food imports by growing more fruit and veg in urban areas. If we use more gardens, parks, and urban areas, there'd be enough new space to meet 40% of the UK's fruit and veg needs. I love the next one. Ovarian cancer rates plummeting in the UK study. The death rate is plummeting. Modelling suggests that there will be 17% fewer deaths from the disease in 2022 compared with 5 years ago. Big round of applause for that one. More disadvantaged students than ever at UK universities. Black, Asian, and disadvantaged background students, a record number went to the UK in 2021. There's a 19% year-on-year rise in the number of black students going to university, and 21% of students receiving free school meals were accepted onto a university or college course last year. Plans were announced for fixing factories in the UK. So instead of throwing something away, you take it to a factory, and for a donation, they'll fix it for you. I think I'll leave it there, but I've got a fuzzy, warm, fuzzy feeling listening to all of those. Why am I telling you these good news stories? Who liked hearing them? Today, in our Bible passage, Jesus was giving out good news. But people weren't particularly happy about it. I wonder why. We're going to find out. But for now, I hope that you've been a little bit cheered this morning. And if you want to have more stories like that, you can go online, and there's plenty of websites and things on Facebook that will lift your spirits. So, are we going to sing? No, we're not going to sing. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll see you later.
Let us pray for children. Father, as the children leave to continue their own activities, we ask your blessing on them. May they come to know you in your love for us all. Amen. Thank you. Let us sing next hymn, hymn number 285, 285, or 4,000 tongues to sing, or 4,000 tongues to sing. Today's Bible reading, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 10, Old Testament, will Brian read for us. And after Luke chapter 4, verse 21 to 30, our friend Bethany read for us.
The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of King Joachim, son of Josiah of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, son of Josiah of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "O Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I sent you, and you shall speak whether I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Here ends the lesson.
From the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "If it's not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there are many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. That yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman and the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him up out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off a cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." This be the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the back, so if you need a sermon paper, hand up, and then we deliver it to you. After being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He overcame the temptation of the devil. He performed the teaching and the healing in various synagogues, receiving praise and fame from the people of the region of Galilee. Jesus then went to his hometown of Nazareth. On the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue as was customary, and received a scroll from the book of Isaiah. It was given to him by the synagogue leader. He read it. After reading the word, he gave the scroll back to the leader of the synagogue, sat down, and began to speak of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Everyone in the crowd turned to Jesus. Verse 21 declares, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." After these words are proclaimed, Jesus gave a long homily. At the first, they praised him for being gracious and unconventional. Everyone was surprised at how different his sermon was from what they had heard before. But as the teaching progressed, people became critical. They saw only the human side of Jesus, and did not believe in the fact that he was the Messiah. They chatted to each other, asking, "Isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, just the carpenter of our town? His mother, Mary, and his brothers, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sister lives together in our town. Where did this power come from?" Jesus was aware of the people's chat. Jesus spoke them through four themes: their envy, their lack of faith, their disbelief that the Messiah could come from their hometown, and their loss of their hope. He started by using the proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself." Jesus knew that they wanted instant rewards without participation. They tempted Jesus to make signs of his power as if it were by magic. They knew of his work in Capernaum. Jesus was constantly faced with this sort of demand. It was the same temptation that the devil offered in the wilderness. Jesus would not offer the messianic proof as asked just for the sake of people's fun and curiosity. Jesus used the stories of the prophets to address the people's disbelief that the Messiah could come from their hometown, their envy, lack of faith, and the loss of hope. The prophet Jeremiah is an example of what was happening to him. Jeremiah had been welcomed in his hometown of Anathoth, but as he spoke of God's truth, he was no longer welcomed, and the people wanted to kill him. God had warned him about this, but this rejection was not exclusive to Jeremiah. Amos, Micah, Malachi, and Isaiah were also dismissed in their home country. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in their prophet's hometown." Jesus said, Jesus' father, Joseph's hometown was Bethlehem, and Mary, his mother's hometown, was near Bethesda, Jerusalem. It was when they lived in Nazareth that they became bestrowed. So when registering the family, they went to Bethlehem, the hometown of Joseph. As there was no room in the inn. Jesus was born in a stable at Joseph's hometown. Nazareth is located inland, a short distance from the Sea of Galilee. At the time, the population was estimated at about 150 people, and archaeologists, after excavation, say that there were perhaps 400 people at the most. Thus, it was a small village in which Jesus' family made a living as carpenters. And the other folk worked in daily labor, farming, cattle ranching, winemaking, and milling flour. It was a small country town with just ordinary people with nothing to brag about. They were cousins who knew each other very well. There was no Roman authority in this place. It was a simple village. The people of his hometown did not want to acknowledge Jesus. They wanted to ignore him and even hated him. A countryside village like that today, a town like that today, a cities like that today, a people like flocks trapped in a world. A flock's world is small and limited by the round walls. When the flock look up, all the seas is a small part of the sky. Can this narrow perspective be changed? Pastor, I know, said this. There is no saint without a past, no sinner without a future life. Until recently, in an atmosphere of admiration and praise for the evidence and the teachings of God's word, a young man who worked as a carpenter, the family business, suddenly aroused public opinion, suspicion, and disbelief. Those close to him thought, I do not want to hear and believe in the sermons of strange and strong power. This narrow vision is everywhere and available to everyone. Even as Jesus Messiah proclaimed that this was the year of grace, the year of the Jubilee of at the moment, and the liberation undoing all bonds, they rejected him and even hated him. Through his word, Jesus confirmed that the examples of the Old Testament apply equally to the people of Nazareth who do not believe in the word of God. The Nazareans knew well what the prophet Elijah and Elisha had done, and they had believed it unquestionably. However, because of their pride, ignorance, and prejudice, they did not realize that Elijah and Elisha had to do God's favor only to the Gentile widow and the Syrian Naaman, the least privileged and the most distant. Luke chapter 4, verse 26 echoes what appears in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 24. At the time, there had been no rain in the land of Israel for 3 years and 6 months. Famine struck all over the land, and it was terrible. There was no work, and it was difficult to find food. There was starvation. In such a situation, widows faced even more difficulties than others. As he journeyed, Elijah had left behind many widows suffering from the drought and suffering from hunger. Elijah went to the house of a widow living in Sarepta, a small town in Sidon, within the great city of Phoenicians, and saved her home. Jesus makes it clear that this was not Elijah's own judgment and decision, but that it was what God had sent him to do. This example of the mercy shown to the widow of Sarepta is like that of Jesus' healing of the Synophonic woman's daughter. The next verse of Luke chapter 4, verse 27, echoes Elisha's work in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14. Elisha and Elijah's case have the same context. In Elisha's time, there were many lepers in Israel, but only Naaman, the general of Syria, was cleansed. Jesus clearly states that it is the grace of God that is bestowed on the Gentiles through Elisha. The story of Naaman's healing is like that of Jesus healing the Roman centurion's servant. The proclamation of salvation by Jesus marked the beginning of a new history of redemption that was prophesied in the Old Testament. He proclaimed that the way of salvation was truly open to all who come to Jesus from any nation. This is what Jesus said to the people of his hometown: "Doctor, heal yourself." And also, a prophet is not welcome in his hometown. His words were taken as an insult by the listeners. The synagogue, which worshipped and praised God, was temporarily turned into chaos. Although Jesus' words were a very important proclamation of the Messiah, and they should have heeded them and humbly ask for blessing, but they did not. They became cynical, distrustful, and disrespectful, which then turned into blind hatred and anger. Jesus proclaimed God's love for Gentiles as well as Jews. This is a precursor to the Passover festival, when people shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," meaning "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But all too soon, the shout of praise turned into a mob crying out for Jesus to be crucified. To conclude, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, we learn that Jesus did not many deeds of power in Nazareth, his home village, because of their unbelief. In Nazareth, people did not expect anything of Jesus. After all, he was just the carpenter's son. People did not want to listen. On the other hand, in Capernaum, a place where Jesus was not known, they brought anything before the Lord and asked for his grace with expectation. Many miracles took place there. But expecting and praying is not a simple state of mind. More is required. God expect us to bend our back and beg him like a beggar. So let us try not to become arrogant before God. Let us go into the wilderness and pray and take time like Jesus. Let us believe firmly and pray with the expectation that the Lord will do great things in us. Amen. Let us keep silent for a moment. Let us pray a prayer of intercessory. When I say, Lord, hear our prayer, please respond, Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the world and the church, thankful for God's goodness. We pray for the poor and for prisoners, for the unemployed and for the homeless, for those who will go without sustenance today, and for those who have the power to feed them. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who live in places of conflict, for refugees and those fleeing war, for those who experience conflict at home or at work, and for those with the power to negotiate peace. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have been oppressed, for victims of crime, both disclosed and secret, for children, women, and men who feel unsafe, and for those who administer justice. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those we know who are in need, for those who are ill or housebound, for the very young and very old, and for all those who care for them. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves, the faith and the hope and the love to flood our lives, and for the grace to pass those gifts of God to others. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Continue to our worship for offertory and dedication. Almighty God, we bring our gift of money and thanks for all you have given us. We pray that you will guide us to use it and us in the service of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn, 620, for the healing of the nations. After this hymn, our church own minister, Leslie Charlton, bless to us. Leslie, thank you. She will be. 260, for the healing of the nations.
I know it says we, not mine. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.